The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Snap, Sirius XM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. Whoa, what a year. What a year. You know, I often thought it would be great if the world could just stop spinning on its axis for a second, for like a year. And you don't have to go into work, you don't have to go into school, you can kind of be with the people you love and all that. But boy, that's one thing. A half a million plus Americans dead is something else. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance.
The NBA has suspended the season.
Rudy Gobert has tested positive for the coronavirus.
A night the NBA and sports in this country has never seen.
And joining me right off the top, the great Scott Van Pelt, host of SportsCenter with SVP, joins me on the Goodyear Hotline. Scott, I mean, when you're known by your initials, SVP, you've made it.
Is that, I don't know, man. I don't know. First of all, thank you for having me in. But
thanks for coming on.
It's so wild. It's just so strange and amazing to reflect on these moments. And this day and the last couple of days have invited that, right? The opportunity to think back. And because I just happened to be the person sitting on the set that night as all of this is happening in real time, I just think back to how I felt that night and what I thought then and what I know now. And it's amazing, isn't it, just to think how little we kind of knew, how little grasp we had on where we were headed.
It just happened so quickly. You know, like you heard about it, and then it was like, well, if that comes here, then but it's still, even when you kind of had that a couple days advance warning, because literally it was just a couple days when people really started to come to grips with it, but you never really believe that your reality will change like that until it changes. But you were on the air live when I think, you know, it's hard to get through to people sometimes, right? Like, you ever see Shaun of the Dead? There's a zombie apocalypse and no one people are still kind of carrying on with life. But for sports fans, it's like, oh, well, wait a minute. There are no games? Oh, okay. I guess this is actually happening now.
Well, you know what is remarkable to realize, and this, I mean, you and I, we live in a world of facts and opinion, right? I mean, we're both very fortunate that we can document facts and share opinions. This is, I believe, not an opinion, but a fact. When Rudy Gobert tested positive and the NBA stopped March 11th, that was the seminal moment for us as a nation going, hold on. Now, to be fair, that night, Tom Hanks, America's dad, well, he's got it. And he started to get this creep, this dread is creeping up, like, well, what's this mean? And as soon as the NBA says no, and as soon as the NCAA tournament says we're not having a tournament, that was the holy bleep moment. Because to your point, and you're right, yeah, no fans at games. Okay, whatever. That's going to suck. No games at all. What are you even talking about? And then, wait, we can't go to school. If you go to the grocery store, like, people are washing their groceries when they get home. Kids can't go to school. People, unfortunately, and the tragedy of all this isn't that we didn't have games, it's that people lost lives, and we understand that. But the role that sports played in identifying for us that the brakes were being not just tapped, but slammed, we were stopping, happened because Rudy Gobert tested positive on March the 11th.
And then also, like, as fate would have it, he makes a joke. It was a very joke made in poor judgment. But, of course, when you make a joke, you're violating expectation. You're violating norms. Oh, look, I'm touching everything. And then he turned – the fact that the guy who tested positive also made that joke – he thought it was a joke at the time – and touched everyone's stuff. It's like, oh, my – like a head-slapping moment. And recall back then – we didn't know how deadly this would be, really. Well, is it kind of like the flu, or is it 10 times worse than the flu, or is it 100 times worse than the flu? We had no real idea of knowing how long it would be until there was a vaccine. Like, everything was so and by the way, we had very little knowledge of anything, to the point where people were on ventilators and there weren't enough to go around, and it seemed like the mortality rate among those who got the disease early on was much higher because we just didn't know a lot about it. It's kind of hard now to really put yourself back in that moment. But the fact that Scott Van Pelt, who's joining me now on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, is, of course, host of SportsCenter with SVP, joining me on the Goodyear Hotline. The fact that you were dealing with it and kind of you were a conduit to the sporting public in real time that night, are you in touch with what you were thinking and feeling as that was going on, or has it been too colored by your experiences since then?
No, for sure. And I think that in that moment, I like to have fun. I like to mess around, and I like to treat sports for what they are. Like, I treat it seriously, but they're games, right? And we cut up, and we, you know, whatever. But I like to believe that I have a gear that's a serious gear that I can, and I've been doing this for 20-some-odd years, where I have a relationship with my audience where they know who I am. And if I am reflecting to them the sincerity and the gravity of the situation as I understand it, I think that will land with them, right? Does that make sense?
So, sure, of course.
So understanding that and realizing, like, people are going to turn us on, and they're like, try to project to them as best you can. Be calm, be reasonable, and be honest about what I don't know, you don't know. Because you're right, the fog of it then was so dense. We didn't know. We didn't have the ability to rapid test. I was thinking, oh my God, Rudy Gobert has this, he's going to die. But I remember saying to Royce Young, who was live with us in Oklahoma City, and I tried to couch it by saying, I'm not trying to play doctor, nor am I asking you to. But it would seem to me that the fact that Gobert's warming up and felt well enough in his mind to play must be positive, right? He wasn't so incapacitated,
right?
And he has this, I'm hoping, right? I guess I was hoping out loud that meant something. And as we found, largely, thankfully, with those athletes who are the youngest and the fittest among us, thankfully, that has not been something that's cost anyone his or her life. But in that moment, none of us knew. And I definitely remember feeling like, man, and Woj said on our podcast this week, Max, and think about, like, you know, Woj bombs and all this and that. He's like, I remember feeling nervous because I'm saying these words out loud and realizing what people are going to hear me say. And it's like their words are coming out of your mouth. And he's like, look, I break trades and this and that. This is something wholly separate from that.
Yeah, I mean, like, talking to Scott Van Pelt, of course, host of SportsCenter with SVP on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. There's a couple things to get into there, in my view. The first is there are over 500,000 Americans dead, and our response, our federal response, and then our kind of societal response was so lacking. It really, that number did not have to be that high. It could have been a half or a third of what it was. And you just, on the one hand, think, oh, thank God this thing wasn't more deadly, right? Like, it's, because it could have been, and we would have been in even worse shape. And then, so that's very serious. On the other hand, there's like a South Park episode where Cartman is told he has to go back to school. And he's like, wait, what? You know, yeah, they're going to be pods. And I also get a feeling like a lot of people are in this position where they have to publicly say, oh, it's going to be great to go back to normal. And I'm not talking about people who've lost their jobs and people who are struggling, sure, because there's also an enormous economic impact. But people who are able to work remotely are paying public lip service to, I can't wait till it gets back to normal. And yet there's a whole culture that's sprung up around being able to do your work in your pajamas, if you're lucky enough to have that kind of job, from home. Throughout the past year, because that's been the reality, how have you sort of managed to kind of be honest about things and also not make light of what's going on?
It's a fine line, because I wrestle with the gravity of it and the understanding of that. And I also wrestle with the gravity of what I believe sports represent to society, which is our greatest meeting, gathering place, and our greatest connector. And if we come to understand that we can do our best to protect athletes, coaches, and those people and play games, it represents a light, like this beacon that is helpful.
Yeah.
But look, I'm in the content. We did 4 months without sports. I know you all did in the mornings as well. And it was, you know, look, our jobs aren't heavy lifting. I steal money for 20 years doing games.
Yeah, you and I both.
Those four months, I'd like to think I paid some back, because it was a lot to do. But I guess what I'm saying here is I wrestle with, how do I say that I think they can play without having people that are so against that idea, just screaming. We don't do a great job, Max, of talking to one another when we're on different sides of topics.
Yeah.
And I don't mean on your show. I mean in our
because of social media, the righteous indignation of the mob can be directed like a laser beam at someone with whom
Without
you disagree, and all nuance and subtlety is lost.
I've dealt with that. Right. I deal with that when I try to say, like, look, the fact that college football played, and then people are like, oh, well, these guys, they all got it, you know, because they played. And I said, well, maybe they got it because colleges got together on campus.
Yeah.
Like, it was very interesting that colleges that said, well, we can't play football, but we can bring 40,000 people back to campus and put them in dorms. Well, then don't bring anyone back.
This was a really nuanced, talking to Scott Van Pelt on the Max Kellerman Show. This is a really nuanced situation because you're right. Throughout our country's history, sports, people have looked to sports in times of crisis. FDR, during the Second World War. You know, hey, baseball, play baseball, even with replacement players. It's important for people. But in this case, a disease that travels from person to person in a social distancing reality, there was an actual debate to be had, an interesting, besides practical, ethical debate even, about whether sports should be played, how they can be played, you know, the economic kind of the cost-benefit analysis, which people were doing, weighing human life against economic reality, because that also has an impact on human life. And we were dealing with all of this and trying to talk about it in a way that wouldn't offend people's sensibilities in real time. It was
all true.
Difficult. It's going to be difficult to explain, I think, to future generations what it was like.
It is, and I mean, there's no question that the worst creation of our life is social media, just because it creates a complete inability to have nuanced conversation or to have any sort of disagreement. We can fundamentally disagree, but we can work together to figure out what we ought to do when it comes to anything, in my opinion. In this particular case, we were mostly flying blind. My roommate at Maryland is a brilliant man. He's a doctor at Mass General. And he, from the beginning, has been very honest with me about what they didn't know, the blind spots as it related to this. And they are in real time trying to figure it out. And we do far less serious things, Max. We talk about sports. We debate them. We cover them. And in the absence of them, I think we all realize what we missed. And we hope that they'd come back. And I believe, undeniably, they've provided great, a great boost to our spirit in many ways. And, you know, I think it has been okay to try to find a place where you can laugh and not feel like you're turning a blind eye to the gravity of this. But it's a tricky dance, particularly when, as we do, you talk into microphones and anything you say might be misconstrued or it might land really poorly with somebody. And I think what I respect about you so much is I think you respect them, your audience. And I do my best to do the same. And I remember that night trying my best to be as clear with my audience as I could about what I understood, where it felt like we were, and it's astounding to think it's a year later.
So before I let you go, Scott, what do you have coming up tonight? It's the 1 year anniversary of the day that the sports world certainly dealt with this reality. What's the show? Who do you have on the show? What's coming up?
Well, you know what I'm going to do? We were on last night, and so you can kind of fudge the books because you come on at midnight, and at midnight it becomes the 11th. And I did one big thing, which was sort of a commentary on reflecting on that night. And we did an entire podcast with Woj,
and Malika, and
Royce, and they were the people that night that kept me. I keep using the same term, but it's true. They kept me afloat on the air because I kept ping ponging back and forth in real time to them. And so we talked for about an hour, just what we remembered about that night. And so I kind of directed people to that. But you know what I'm going to do on March the 11th, 2021? I'm going to talk about games. And I'm going to show people all the games and look ahead to a tournament that we didn't get and celebrate the fact that we do. We've done a lot of the documenting of last year. And the fact that we've got games and the fact that we're moving forward as best we can, trying our best to celebrate sports and still keep each other safe. That's what I'm going to talk about because we can. And for all those months that we couldn't, man, it was difficult. It was hard. For me, I felt lost in a lot of ways. And I'm just grateful that I'm safe and I'm healthy. And I hope that the same can be said of you and yours and the people listening out there. And it's been a hell of a year, man.
Indeed, and that's why it's a really cool show. It feels like, your Sports Center feels like, just a sports fan who's paying close attention to everything that's going on that day, somehow having the time to step back, consider it, give you perspective, and take you into it. And I look forward to seeing it tonight. Thanks, Scott. Appreciate you jumping on, man.
Thanks for having me, and continue to do what you do. You guys are fantastic.
Appreciate you, brother. Scott Van Pelt, host of SportsCenter with SVP. So that I like the way he did that. So, you know, obviously Woj and Malik and everybody yesterday, because technically it's after midnight, and then you can talk about that. And then today it's like, you know what? We have sports. Let's not take it for granted. Things were a lot different a year ago, and you do that tonight. Knicks, by the way, 19-18, entering the second half of the season as the number five seed in the East. The number five seed in the East. Tom Thibodeau did a Q&A with our very own Nick Friedell and answered some questions about the lessons that shaped his coaching renaissance with the Knicks this season. Was asked, what are you doing differently with the Knicks compared to your past coaching stops? He said the biggest thing is that with Knicks VP William Wesley worldwide and Knicks president Leon Rose, we talk almost daily about everything, whether it's what we're doing with the team, what the future looks like. So I'd say it's communication. And that's interesting. And people, others have made this point, but it's not that everyone comes to the table on the same page. In a healthy organization, people come with different ideas, and then you come together and you hammer it out, and then you come to consensus, and then you move forward with a mission, with a plan. But that's different than thinking everyone has to come to the table already agreeing about everything, kind of in a groupthink. He was asked, has the identity of a Tom Thibodeau coach team changed through the years? He said, no, his core beliefs are what, you know, what they are. That doesn't change. You can do things a little better here and there. What's the one thing he felt like that he learned from Chicago and Minnesota that he brought to the Knicks? He's just talking about like he adapts and everything else. Let's be honest. The number one thing Knicks fans are worried about is, has Thibodeau learned his lesson in terms of burning players out before the playoffs, should the Knicks in fact make the playoffs? Is he going to run these guys into the ground? Because one thing about those old Knicks teams that Thibodeau is really from, that kind of philosophy, I'm talking about like you go back to the Van Gundy, you know, even after Pat Riley, you know, Patrick Ewing, Charles Oakley Knicks teams, is they were workers. Charles Oakley used to talk about playing basketball is no different than being a farmer. You wake up early in the morning before the sun comes up and you work all day long, right? But, you know, when you have Patrick Ewing as the centerpiece, you can still make playoff runs. When you don't have a guy like that and everyone's scrapping the whole way, you want to make sure not to grind these guys down to a nub so when the playoffs start, you got nothing left should the Knicks, in fact, make the playoffs. And by the way, with the playing games, it's no longer over 50% of the teams that play past the regular season. It's now two-thirds of all teams in the NBA. So I think it's safe to say the Knicks will at least be playing in a playing game. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Mitch in New Jersey, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Max, good show. What do you think about USC? I think they can go far in these playoffs. They got two lottery picks, especially Evan Mobley.
USC?
Top five.
Did you just ask me about USC?
USC. I think Gonzaga is going to choke.
Mitch, hold on a second. Mitch, you got to tell me. I need to know a little bit about you here. What I see you call the show a lot. What do you do for a living, Mitch?
I work for FedEx. I've been doing that for 32 years. I'm just on a little disability here. I'm getting a right hip.
Gotcha.
So what's, my golf.
Do you mind if I ask what's the disability related to?
Oh, I had a right hip replacement.
I'm sorry. I thought it may have been comprehension of topics that we're on because we're not talking USC, Mitch. I love you, Mitch. But where did you come up with USC? Are you just sitting there thinking like, hey, you know what? I'm into USC. Let's call the show. Clearly, I was talking about COVID with Scott Van Pelt and the year that was. And then I was talking about the Knicks. What's going on with the USC question?
Well, you know, you give a broad range of topics.
That's true.
I know you only have a two-hour show. I mean, it should be double. But I just thought maybe that makes some good points. It's a subject. We got the tournament coming around the corner. Pac-12 is going out as we speak.
Right. That's true. Well, listen, but even if we're talking a tournament right now, what we'll be talking about is Duke with the COVID cases. Now they don't have a chance to even win the ACC tournament. They're not going to get a ticket to the dance.
They're the Yankees of college basketball. Don't tell me Duke hasn't been doing some shady stuff, getting all these talented players born and done. Who, by the way, only Ingram
not a beat. He just
and
goes right on.
Gary Trent Jr. have really shown their talents. A lot of teams haven't been hitting too well with Duke players, which I'm glad to see.
Mitch is the king of non sequiturs, yes. But highly entertaining. Mitch, we'll talk again soon. How's that?
Hope so, and okay. I'll try to stay on topic.
I want you to be on topic. No, Mitch, you just do you, as they say. You do what you're going to do, and we'll take it from there. The great Mitch from New Jersey, ladies and gentlemen. Meantime, the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Who do you think would be a better GM, Mitch from New Jersey or Dave Gettleman of the Giants? Boy, there's nothing that makes me madder than a dude with a thick Boston accent who tells tall tales to a New York audience. I don't like when the mayor of New York is from Boston. I don't like when the GM of the Giants is from Boston. I don't like it. Here's good news. Even with high unemployment, there's still a need for hundreds of thousands of cybersecurity professionals in the U.S. right now, and My Computer Career is training people to help meet the demand. No IT experience? No problem. Take the free career evaluation today at mycomputercareer.edu. Start your new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months. Grants covering up to 53% of the cost are available to those who qualify. It's not rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu. Gettleman said what?
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. So no one's great at their jobs in year two, huh? Dave Gettleman, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Now, let me just say something ahead of time. I admit to having a built-in bias against Gettleman because he has that stupid Boston accent. I hate it. Not in New York. Not for a New York GM. No. Just like if a guy with a big, stupid New York accent went to, like, if you think I have one now, you should have heard me in 98 when I first got on ESPN. Like, I watched, someone showed me a clip recently. I was like, oh, my God. But if I tried to go GM a team or something or do a local Boston sportscast in broadcast in 98 with a thick New York accent, yeah, guess what? People in Boston would be like, yeah, you're not from here. Get away. Goodbye. Right? Gettleman, right? That quarterback and all this stuff. Right away, I'm turned off. It's bad enough that the last two mayors of New York City were from Boston. Terrible. But at least Bloomberg had the decency to at least pretend he was a Yankees fan. He gave up the Red Sox. De Blasio still openly roots for the Red Sox. It can't be. And our GM comes over to talk about quarterback. That's bad enough, but let me tell you something. If you're the GM of a New York franchise with a thick Boston accent, boy, you better be a good one. If you want me to like you, you better be a great one. Dave Gettleman's had several years now. Are the Giants even making progress? It's hard to say. They're kind of running in place. I mean, I just listened to Dave Gettleman, who, remember, reached for Daniel Jones at 6 in that draft. There's a name for Daniel Joneses of the world. It's called Day 2 Guy. Or maybe you don't get a quarterback in that draft if you don't find one. But he decided, convinced himself he's in love with Daniel Jones. And by the way, I love Saquon Barkley. Really, he's like my second favorite player ever to watch behind Lawrence Taylor. You don't draft a running back second overall. You just don't. Like, teams that win Super Bowls just don't do that. Why do you think that is? He did, and he didn't even want to entertain trading out of the position or drafting someone else because he knew he had his guy. Listen to this genius, this rocket scientist here, Dave Gettleman, on why Daniel Jones is his quarterback, as he says. Listen.
What we're doing isn't fantasy football. We're not playing. We're not doing that.
That's for sure.
We've got a conviction on him. He's everything we want. He's got all the physical skills. And again, I say this all the time. You know, the kid just finished his second year of NFL football. All right. How many of us, after 2 years at our new job, were great? No, we all start at point A and we hopefully get, hopefully get to point Z. But the one common denominator is it takes time. Everybody's got to understand that. We believe in Daniel, and that's where it is.
All right. First, before I – like, I actually respect the idea. We believe in this guy. He has the physical tools. We're staying with him. I respect that idea. But let's get into this now. How many people are excellent at their jobs in year two? Well, not Dave Gettleman. And by the way, this is not the first time he's had the job or an executive job at the NFL. This, as a GM, has been a disaster so far. Just because he's following a regime who followed a regime that was no good doesn't excuse this. The Giants aren't making progress, not really, barely, if any. And in terms of Daniel Jones and the belief that this isn't fantasy football, you got that right. I don't fantasize about this. Plus, I win my fantasy football league. I'm the draft king. The point is that I respect that Gettleman says he has all the physical tools and we believe in him. But don't try and say, like, Dave, Gettleman, the times where it was like, well, a quarterback still doesn't know what he's doing in year two, they're gone. Year two is known throughout the universe as the development year for quarterbacks. I would respect it more if you said, look, I believe in Daniel Jones. He has the physical tools. He did not make a lot of progress year two. I believe that's because Saquon was hurt. We spent a very high draft pick on Saquon because we don't think he's a kind of replaceable kind of running back. We think he's a next level talent. And with Daniel Jones, the kind of quarterback he is, we think it'll be especially excellent with Saquon. But once you take Saquon out of there, it changes things. And Daniel has some things to work on. But if the question is whether or not we believe in him, yes, we still do. I would respect that more than he's always trying to get him and spin this kind of folksy wisdom to people and dress it up like it's something that makes any sense. The only thing I respect from what he just said was he has the physical tools and we believe in him. As soon as he expands upon the original point, it's like, oh, Gettleman, stop talking. Yeah. John in New Mexico, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Max, out of these three free agent wide receivers, which one would you like better on your Giants? Kenny Galladay, Juju, or Will Fuller?
Maybe Galladay. Listen, on the Giants, I would rather the Giants go get a receiver in the draft. I don't mind what they have at receiver at all right now. But if they are married to, and the real reason Gettleman's married to Daniel Jones is because he drafted him. That's why he's married to him, because he drafted him. If Daniel Jones doesn't work out, Gettleman's gone, and he knows that. So there are perverse incentives in the NFL for GMs to double down on the guy that they – like, really, at a certain point, with all the quarterbacks that look promising in a given draft class, in fact, Daniel Jones's draft class, there weren't a lot of promising quarterbacks. There were like three guys. And he was one of them, kind of, who was supposed to go third. Although I'd say he's justified going ahead of, you know, like going second, but among quarterbacks. But that wasn't an especially deep or top-heavy draft class for quarterbacks. In fact, it was one of the weaker draft classes in recent years. You can't just invent the guy and hope he turns out to be the right guy. I think the odds that can Daniel Jones turn into a very competent NFL quarterback? Yes, he can. He's mobile. I think he has a head on his shoulders. He can play. Is he going to be a great quarterback? Well, you don't need a great quarterback to win a Super Bowl. Sure. But why wouldn't you want one? But if they look, there are receivers in this draft. If you're going to spend a high draft pick on one of these receivers, you're going to probably do very well. And the Giants' receiving core is already pretty good. Although I don't know about Evan Engram. I know he's the tight end, but I don't know about Engram. This is the Max Kellerman Show coming to you live from the Seaport District, the Pier 17, brought to you by Chase. New York, is it possible for the Knicks? Is it possible that they're more impressive to you than the Nets? The college basketball season's winding down, and that means the Wendy's Wooden Watch is heating up. Go to ESPN.com and search Wooden Watch for the list of Wooden Award late season top 15 nominees to watch as the season rolls on. The ACC tournament is on ESPN Radio tonight. No Duke, but still a lot of drama. Coverage begins at 8 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. The John R. Wooden Award is presented by Wendy's.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. First, it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Listen to Jay Williams on Keyshawn, Jay Will, and Zubin this morning here on ESPN Radio about the Knicks season and comparing, like, what would it take for the Knicks season to be considered, at least in New York, more successful than the Nets?
The Knicks do make the playoffs. For everything that this franchise has been through, the Nets have made the playoffs 21 out of their 44 seasons, right? It's close to 50%. I don't know what that is for the Knicks over the last 20 years. It's been not good. So, yes, I would agree with Stephen A. that the Knicks, if they do make the playoffs and the Nets do not make it to the NBA Finals, that will be more of a successful season for the Knicks more so than the Nets.
I disagree with Jay. I would say if the – because there's so many teams make the playoffs – 10 teams are playing after the season is over per conference. There are only 15 teams in each conference. It's ridiculous. Like, once upon a time, I would say over 50% of the teams make the playoffs in the NBA. If you're an MVP, like, having a regular season MVP is ridiculous because there's no such thing as an MVP from a non-playoff team. Now it's literally two-thirds of the teams make the playoffs. So, no, the Knicks making the playoffs and the Nets not making the finals is not the Knicks having a better season. The Knicks winning a playoff series would mean the Nets, in order to equal them, because their expectations are so much higher, because they're not a bum organization, they would have to at least make the Eastern Conference Finals. In fact, maybe even the finals. But look, World Wide West and Leon Rose, I got to tip my cap to these guys. They have established in a very short time a healthy culture for the Knicks in a place under Dolan where no one has been able to do that. Since James Dolan took over the team from his father, Chuck Dolan, no one has been able to establish an ongoing healthy culture with this bottom feeder franchise because it reflects Jim Dolan. Fish rots from the head down. Jim Dolan's the same guy who kept the Yankees off of cable in Long Island because he was feuding with Steinbrenner about the fact that now the MSG network wasn't carrying Yankees games anymore. It occurred to George Steinbrenner, well, why am I selling the rights for $50 million a year to Dolan? I might as well start my own Yes Network and make 10 times the money, which is what he did. And then, you know, Dolan wouldn't carry it, they, you know, claiming that they couldn't come to an understanding in the negotiation, which, of course, Steinbrenner had all the leverage. He had the Yankees. They just, if you lived on Long Island, you just couldn't get Yankees games. I remember that because I was out on Long Island that summer. Like, how am I going to get Yankees games? Thanks, Jim Dolan. Why have the Knicks stunk almost every season? But it's hard to establish a healthy culture under those atmosphere of well-documented of paranoia. I've dealt with the Knicks back in the day, at least. They were impossible to deal with, and they stunk. I dealt with the Lakers in L.A. They were a pleasure to deal with. Whether they were good, they were good years and bad years, always easy to deal with. Knicks, impossible to deal with. And I was on the radio talking them up because I was a Knicks fan. But Leon Rose, World Wide West, I tip my cap. Tom Thibodeau, you have done an excellent job. I call it like it is. They've done an excellent job in short order. I mean, that was fast. That was Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Matt in Wisconsin, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, man. Great show. Just want to say I appreciate what you and SVP talked about.
Thank you, brother.
You guys really helped the American people get through those first 4 months, kind of giving us an idea of what was going on. So,
hey, Matt, I am told, I see it on my screen, that you're a 2018 Olympic gold medal winner?
Yeah, in curling. I was the guy with the mustache, if you remember.
That's awesome. Thanks for calling the show. So do you have something to say about COVID?
No, I mean, how I appreciate what you were talking about. What I actually wanted to talk about is...
Well, I appreciate you repping the United States and bringing home the gold. How do you like that?
Much appreciated, my friend. You were talking about the Giants earlier. I heard someone say bringing in a wide receiver.
Yep.
I agree with you. Your wide receivers, your position players are great. Old school Giants, what did they have? What did they
defense.
Always do that got them championships? Winning in the trenches. Either in the defensive side of the line or the offensive side of the line.
You know what, though, Matt? Here's the problem. Here's the problem
yeah.
with the Giants. They've been trying to address the offensive line, not to the extent that the Dallas Cowboys did when they spent 4 out of 5 first-rounders in 5 years, 4 of those years on offensive linemen. That's why they had a great offensive line. But the Giants have invested real draft capital. There aren't that many teams that have invested more in their offensive line. They're still not good. Like, I don't trust this team to put together a good offensive line. It's been a decade now, and every year they say they're going to fix it, and they're unable to do it. So I don't know what to say, you know? They've just been bad. Matt, an Olympic gold medal winner in curling. That's right. It's embarrassing when you have like, people who actually represented the country, won a gold medal, and they're saying, oh, thank you for, like, talking on the radio. It is true. I'm a wonderful person. And an exemplary citizen. And yet, it's still, you know, like, this guy won a gold medal. He actually did something. Although I still don't understand curling. I don't know how it works still. I've learned it like 10 times. I still don't understand all the rules. The only two sports that make any sense are boxing and basketball. Everything else is weird. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. L.A., reason to worry about the Lakers?
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.